Phil, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning.
That's a pleasure, Tess.
So to start off with, the Melbourne Cup, it's got an almost, I guess, religious place in our social makeup here in Australia. How did we get here?
Well, it goes back to the 19th century when horses were an important part of life as a main means of transportation apart from walking. And it's the gold rush, and they had the gold rush around Ballarat, Bendigo, and Melbourne became, in the late 1880s, marvellous Melbourne. And we have, you know, the Melbourne Cup horse race being the centre of then what was the east coast of the colonies around Adelaide and Sydney and for Hobart. So it was the place where they could easily get the horses to. And over time, it is, you know, because the best horses were going there from very early stage and there's a lot of prize money, it has built up to become the biggest and up until recently the richest horse race in Australia. So part of that celebration was a public holiday for the Victorians and a day of horse racing.
And so you wrote recently about the Cup's need for a social licence. Could you tell us, I mean, what, I guess, is that?
Sure. And I think just before I'd gone to the social licence, we met Paul McGreevy, my co-author from Veterinary Science at the University of Sydney, referred to the horse racing industry more generally. And what we meant by social licence is the idea that it's not just all right to be legal about operating. You have to have social acceptance of the conditions of operating. And the concept of a social licence has originated in the resource-intensive industries around mining, forestry, etc. And it's usually been by the development proponents, like mining companies. It's not been by environmental groups and others who've put forward this notion. And the way that they've constructed is that in order to operate in a, generally in a particular location, they've said that they have a legal right to do so, but they want community acceptance of their practices, and they will then modify certain practices in order to be socially acceptable within a particular area. So there are some issues about it in terms of who gets to say about the social license. Is it just the local people in an area or perhaps people who live away, further away, geographically distant, but have concerns about environmental issues, about climate change, etc. And why we think about this, and we did raise the question about the horse racing industry, because the concept was used in the decision about the greyhound racing industry in New South Wales. And one of the reasons that the former Premier tried to ban the greyhound racing industry was the idea that it lost its social licence to operate.
So it's a fascinating concept, I guess. Do you think that the Melbourne Cup does have a social licence? I mean, it seems that almost as many people are against it as super, super into it.
Well, that's really hard to say, and we were just trying to open the debate about it, so it was intended to be a constructive contribution to a debate. I think, as you said in the introduction, increasingly people are becoming aware of the concerns about the Melbourne Cup and horse racing generally, and I have concerns personally about the Melbourne Cup and the hitting of horses, and I know organisations such as the RSPCA are talking about today as well. But I'm actually personally more concerned about some of the horses that will be racing in other jurisdictions today. Because the Melbourne Cup is one race on a full racing card in at Flemington in Melbourne. But there are a lot of other race meetings around the country. And many of the horses there will not get the same amount of media attention. They will not get the same amount of pampering, perhaps from owners and trainers and jockeys, etc. So in some ways, I'm actually more concerned about the horses at the lower levels of the racing industry. Whether the Melbourne Cup itself has the social licence to operate, a lot of people will attend. So you can make the argument that, yes, people are attending, people are tuning in, the race that stops the nation. But I think increasingly there are concerns raised about the hitting of horses. Is that necessary? Can we have a race without hitting the horses? Or should we be racing any horses at all? And what happens afterwards? What happens if, in terms of training some horses, in terms of injuries, etc.? What happens to horses once they leave the racetrack? And there's a lot of perhaps heated debate about that.
And it does. I mean, the point you raise about the fact that I guess during the year, we don't really particularly hear about the welfare of horses on racetracks. It only seems to be a topic that pops up around this time of year and around the Melbourne Cup.
Yes, it's probably because of the attention. It says something about, the size, the scale, the media salience that does happen to come up around the Melbourne Cup time. There are people talking about it throughout the whole year, but it just doesn't quite resonate so much. The idea that the welfare of the horses should be paramount. You can't have a horse racing industry if you don't look after the horses. But there's a notion, some people would say, that the horses are turned over fairly fast and you have a horse racing industry with a lot of churn in it. But certainly the welfare of the horses doesn't just reside in one day. It is actually 365 days per year, 366 in leap years, where it really should be the paramount concern. And I think it's important that the industry, they'll say that they're concerned about the welfare of the horses, but part of the idea of the social license is that they need to be able to demonstrate that and to communicate that to people so that whether rightly or wrongly, perceptions do matter. So it's one thing to say it, that they love the racehorses, but there's certain evidence, I think, needed, and there is an incongruence, and Melbourne Cup really highlights it, between the statement, we love our racehorses, and seeing horses whipped on a racetrack in a way that you could not do out in the car park in the paddock or anything legally as well. You'd be charged with cruelty. So there are different rules that apply on a racetrack, and one could make the argument that just because there's $6 million at stake, or that some people put their betting money onto the race, horses in the race, does that give jockeys the right to be hitting horses?
It is, yeah. Some horrific scenes do seem to come out of the Melbourne Cup, and they have in a few recent years. Before I do let you go, Phil, do you think, I guess personally, that this industry and events like the Melbourne Cup need harsher restrictions, or do you think that they should just even be banned altogether, like perhaps the greyhound racing?
Yeah, sure. I don't think it should be banned altogether, but I think maybe, certainly other people do, and I understand why people would argue that it should be banned totally. I think the horse racing industry is an important economic contributor in terms of employment, etc. There's clearly some problems about social issues around gambling associated with it. But in country towns and in small places, it's about culture, it's about identity. It does provide, a reason for getting together. And it's really hard, even when politicians such as Bob Brown tried to address this issue in Tasmania, you realise there's a lot at stake with it. So I think any blanket ban would have negative implications for the horses. I think there'd be some horses would be killed. There'd be a lot of other issues emerging from that. So I'd be very careful, from a welfare animal perspective, to ban it completely. But I think it can easily be changed. And one of the biggest dangers to the horse racing industry, I believe, are people within the industry who don't want to see any change at all and see any criticism as being unnecessary and should be silenced. I think that is actually the biggest danger, because there is, as you pointed out, a change happening. People's values are changing around animal welfare issues, and I think there's an incongruence between what they see on the racetrack and what is the industry professes. So I think reforming it and making some significant changes around the wastage issue, what happens to horses when they leave the racetrack, and around the whipping particularly, those sort of issues stand out as being something you can still have a racing industry and still people could, there'd be a race, there'd still be money involved, a horse would still win, they'd still come back tomorrow and race again in different horses, but it would have some of the elements that really make the industry problematic at the moment would be removed from the industry, and I think that would make a big difference to the welfare of horses and probably to the perception of the industry.
Well, Phil, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.